Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bible? Turn with me to Isaiah 26, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 6 and ask God to be with us in this morning's message. Amen. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read together verses 1 through 6. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so, Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Keep My Mind in Perfect Peace. Keep my mind in perfect peace. And last week, we prayed about Jesus in the midst of our storms. Amen. And so I believe we're on a type of series regarding the mind, body, and soul. And one of the things that we're going to discuss this morning and hopefully elaborate and hopefully we will receive through the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God is that our minds, that's where the battlefield is in our mind. This is where the enemy will attack you, in the mind. And so once he infiltrates your mind, then that's when he can have his way. And this is where God then raises up a battle for you. But the battle needs to be won through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? So we're going to see what takes place in our mind, in a natural sense and also in a spiritual sense. Amen. Let's read together Isaiah 26, 1 through 6, and then we'll be able to be seated, okay? So let's read. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Key verse right there, because he trusts you. Verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah or Yahweh, the Lord is everlasting strength, for he brings down those who dwell on high. The lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Saints, let me get your attention up here. When confronted with questionable situations or opportunities, can you trust your conscience mind to guide you to make right choices? You know, I'm just thinking back when I was a youth. I didn't know the Lord. Our family was Catholic in their religious beliefs. And I remember I had an opportunity to go into this store that was around the corner from us. We lived on 1927 Orange Street, National City. And there was on 18th Street, there was a little market called Lester's Country Corner. I don't know if for some of you that are familiar with National City. But we used to always go into Lester's. And I remember I didn't have no money. Man, there was a Reese's cup that I wanted. And so, do I look around? And do I put it here and walk out? Well, when situations like that take place, God has given us a conscience. Not the Holy Spirit. Our conscience. And let me just say this. Since God created us, in his DNA, he said when he created man, he said it was good. So God put in us a conscience to determine right from wrong, truth and error. without the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, then he intensifies it, he magnifies it, and then we get clarity through God's word. But not all of us were born again at birth. For me, I didn't come into the saving knowledge until I was 30. For some of you came later. Some of you came as a youth. But there's one thing that's common with all mankind, is God has given us a conscience mind. And we're going to take a look at the conscience mind this morning. And we're going to see how God can help us through sometimes, I call it like this, our stinking thinking. Because sometimes our mind can be corrupted. And this is, as a child of God now, we need his power. We need his strength. We need to hear him direct us. Can I get an amen? Saints, these are important questions because as believers, you and I, we are called to live sanctified lives that are fully surrendered to Christ. Can I get an amen to that? And although we know that it is God's will for you and I, saints, he's working toward this purpose in our lives that we would have a responsibility and a process that would bring God glory and honor and praise, okay, as a believer. What we habitually do has tremendous influence, saints, on whether we live a godly life now as a believer. So look at this right up here. God has given every person a conscience mind to guard and guide them. It's a barometer. It's a meter. Our own conscience mind. For some of you that used to run the streets and, you know, for some of us, we lived a thug life. Come on. Our minds were in the right place. They weren't. Because it was rebellion unto God. Even though we had a mind that God gave us, we were in rebellion to what he had given us. And so we need to look at this message this morning to help have God strengthen us. Saints, this is not the same as the Holy Spirit because he dwells in those who believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. So this is totally different, our conscience mind. This is why God reminds us in Scripture about our mind. Our mind is valuable. It's God-given. And God wants to use our minds to bring him glory, honor, and praise now. But however, once we're saved, the Holy Spirit then works through the conscience mind to remind of us the attitudes we sometimes carry, the thoughts and the words that sometimes we say, and the actions that do not fit the identity of Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit to come and redirect our mindset. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. And so the more we're committed to him, the louder our conscience will be. Oh, yes. If you're in prayer and you're loving the Lord and you're worshiping and you're serving him with your heart, your conscience mind will be alive and well. Why? Because it comes and knits together with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, before salvation, we're on our own. Even though God created it to be good. But he gave us a mind to choose right from wrong. Aren't you so blessed he didn't make you like a robot? You remember back in, I'm going to take you back again. Remember Lost in Space? I know these little ones don't remember Lost in Space. Warning, warning. You remember? Warning, warning. Well, God has placed that in us that he would warn us when things would either go contrary to his will for our life, even as non-believers, believe it or not. But unfortunately, mankind has trampled over his own conscience and have gone astray. This is why Jesus says, I have come to save and seek those who were lost. They were lost because their mind was convoluted with error and what lies from the enemy. And so Paul wrote to Timothy, who was the pastor of the church in Ephesus. He told him to fight the good fight of faith, keeping faith and a what? Good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Look at this. It's right here in the Word. Look at 1 Timothy 1:18. This I charge to commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a what? Say this with me. Good conscience. One more time. Good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith and suffered shipwreck. Oh yeah, there's people, man, that could, in their mind, they become shipwrecked, disillusioned, and they become misfits in life. Look at the character that they had to expose, who was supposed to be helping these little gymnasts. He's got 175 years. Matter of fact, the judge wrote the death warrant, because we all know he's not going to make it probably past five. There's some people that don't have their right minds in prisons. They're going to go after him. I say no more. But where was his mind? Where was his conscience? It was in the gutter. He rejected what God placed, which was good. And God is saying to us this morning, take heed and uphold the good conscience that he has given us, that it would bring glory and honor and praise unto him. And that when the lies come from nowhere, and even our hearts, which the Bible says is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says our heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. We have to look at our own heart and condemn that heart and say, nuh-uh, I'm not going to violate the will of God and the consciousness that he has given me. Because at one time, we were rebels without a cause, lost without a cause. So saints, this is a warning to us that spiritual shipwreck eventually comes to those who feel the conviction of their conscience, mind, and reject its signals. There's some things that come around and they're like little signals, and we need to identify them, because if we gravitate to those ungodly feelings or mindsets, we can crash and burn. Yes, God can scrape you up with his spiritual spatula after you do a face plant, and he'll prop you back up and cleanse you and wash you. That's the loving God we serve. But why even go there when you don't have to be there? Can I get an amen? You don't have to be there. God gave us a conscience for our protection. But when we plow on through without obeying its counsel, eventually it is of no use to us. No use to us. So let's look at this. The conscience mind is a universal gift of God. It's from God. God gave us our mind to be in the right place with him. Listen, I don't know where this political thing, political world is going in our nation. I don't even like to watch the news anymore, because all they want to do is conjure up things to sling at our president. All they want to do is just throw dirt at him instead of saying, man, I need to pray for the man. Because their mind is not in the right place. How many of you would rather pray for your president than condemn him? Come on. Pray for him. He's not perfect, but God put him there. Can I get an amen? So pray for him. So look at this. Number one. Our conscious mind distinguishes between the morally right and wrong. Oh, yes. I shared with you that, do I take that candy or not? Man, my tummy would have said yummy. But my mind, my conscience would say, if you get caught, you're going to get punished. So I had to walk away from it. I had to walk away from it. And that wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was the consciousness that God, the conscience mind of doing right or wrong. And this is what we have to look at. Look at Acts right here. In Acts 24. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. This is what Luke wrote in the book of Acts. He's writing to us that we can apply this today. That we would choose to do good and have a clear conscience, and not have any guilt and shame. You know, there's people walking around with guilt and shame. and their own conscience mind is bringing them down. God's trying to lift you up. God's trying to say, I've washed your sin. Now walk in my ways. Put the past behind. You can't live in the past. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. He gives us one day at a time. Can I get an amen? So live the fullest with a good conscience mind toward God and toward man. And even the unbelievers in your life, man, don't think the worst of them. Man, give them a word of hope. Can I get an amen? That God can save them too. God is a good God we serve. Look at number two. Our conscious mind urges us to do that which we recognize to be right. It does. It does. God put that in us. Because he's a good God. He didn't make us. You know, he didn't make us to do the opposite of him. He didn't. And even though Adam and Eve fell in the garden, he still showed us his love by sending Jesus to save us. Thank you, God. Look at Hebrews 13, 16. It says here, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. This is what God is asking us now, to just live an honest life. Be pure at heart. This message ties in with what took place this morning. And God puts those things together. Yeah, we saw that this was coming, but I didn't know this message was coming either. But God knows all things. Can I get an amen? Look at number three. Our conscious mind restrains us from doing what we recognize to be wrong. It does. Our conscious mind. Look at what Titus says in Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciousness are defiled. These ones that are unbelieving and defiled. Man, at one time, I'm right in the mix. My mind was defiled. It thought nothing about doing just wrong. Everything against the law of God. Everything against the grace of God until salvation came. And then he restored my mind. Can I get an amen? How many can honestly say he's restored your mind when he came into your life? Come on. That's right. God did it. This is why we have to give him all the praise, what, and all the glory. On what he did for us. Because our minds can, man, have us thinking so contrary to him. And we think we got it down, packed. And yet God has said, uh-uh. You're not following me. You're following your own conscience mind. Let's look at number four. Our conscious mind passes judgment on our acts and executes that judgment within our souls. Did you catch that? Oh, yes. 1 Timothy 6:5 brings this out perfectly. Look at this. These people always cause trouble. These are the ones that have a mind that's so in rebellion with God. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Did you catch that? Let's read that again. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. I've shared this many times. There's wonderful churches throughout our world, throughout America. But there's some, all they want is to pick your pocket and to look holy and to look godly. And all they want is to shake you up upside down and grab every penny out of you. Because money is their God, not souls to be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Saints, although we've all been given a conscience, what we do with it will either sharpen or dull it. The more we heed its signals, the more sensitive it becomes, and the better we'll be able to distinguish between right and wrong. Can I get an amen? Amen. But if we repeatedly, saints, ignore the warnings, it will become callous and then useless. At this point, we can live in an absolute disobedience to the living God and feel no conviction whatsoever, and it all because our conscience has been damaged and is unable to judge accurately. We don't want to get to that place. Can I get an amen? Never. We want to be far from that place. Our minds now, as children of the Most High God, is to live a peaceable life with one another and a life honoring God. And so let's look at this, saints. How does the conscience work? How does it work? Ever thought yourself? You know, you ever been home and just maybe you alone there and your mind's totally at work. And man, it comes up with all kinds of things. It does. You're alone. No one's home. Okay, it's just me. There's several things that take place in the mind. Look at number one. It judges a man's soul in three areas. They are attitude, conduct, and behavior. You catch that? Attitude, conduct, and behavior. So are you just behaving godly when we come to the church, but totally opposite of that when you go home? I'm just asking this question, because that same question, God is presenting it to me too. Well, you know that old saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I'm not exempt. Number two, how does the conscience work? It's like spiritual radar sending out signals that danger is near. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. You remember, okay, I'm taking you way back. You know, what comes to mind right now, I have a wonderful man. He works for me. He hung his real estate license with me, and I sent him a little YouTube cartoon. Those of you remember the cartoons Gulliver Travels? You remember Gulliver? Okay, I know you guys don't remember this one. This one was like 25 years ago. And Gulliver's Travel was about a man that was on a ship. He got shipwrecked, and then these tiny little people captured him. All these little guys had a unique character, and one of them was called Glum. You know, like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, I believe they all had a name. Well, in this cartoon, there were little characters that had a name. One of them was called Glum. And I shared in love with my agent. I said, brother, if you're gonna be in real estate sales, you need to be upbeat, you need to be positive, you need to help them. Go through, you know, it's a tough transition in selling and buying a home. And I said, you got to be positive, man. You know, don't be like Glum. He goes, who's Glum? So I sent him a YouTube. This little character I found on YouTube, it just goes from one scene to another scene about Glum. And this is what Glum does. It'll never work. It'll never happen. I don't think that's going to work. No. No, that just won't do, you know. And so there was never anything positive about this guy. So I said it to him, and he was laughing and laughing. He goes, yeah, Fee, you're right. I got to change my attitude. Yeah, change your conscience mind. Don't be negative. Be positive. Be positive. Because those signals you're getting will go out to others. Man, if you're walking around, they're going to go, come on, they're going to run from you, man. Okay, here come Glum. Man, close the blinds. Muzzle the dog. We're not home. But it's a mindset, isn't it? Number three, look at this. It acts like a grid system that sends a stop signal whenever something wrong hits it. You know, yeah, we call it discernment, but our conscience mind is our radar. Man, it that should be the sharpest tool in the drawer. You get my drift here? The sharpest tool in the drawer in your life should be your mind. Because God gave it to you. Saints, the conscience is designed to protect us from temptations and sin. And we must be careful not to violate it by taking that first step in the wrong direction. Listen, for those of you who have been delivered from certain sexual sins, why are you watching R-rated programs? Hello? Or if you're truly trying to lose weight, why are you buying a Diet Coke in a donut shop? Conscience choices, isn't it? See, the conscience mind is designed to protect us from all temptations. Can I get an amen? Amen. To do it is like driving through a red traffic light where eventually we're headed for disaster. So here's the traffic light. You know what? I got to get to where I'm going. I don't care. I'm going. And crash. You didn't catch the signal that it's red. Stop. Well, God brings those red lights to our attention. And he's saying, are you going to make a conscience right decision? At the first internal warning, we must take a choice to abide by his direction. Why? Because we cannot violate our conscience and walk in God's way and enjoy his blessings if we're walking contrary to the will for our life. The conscience is an awesome thing that God put within us to help us live a holy and righteous life. It, along with the Holy Spirit, now identifies whatever is wrong and should be avoided. Can I get an amen? Knowing that God loves us, do you believe that God loves you? I do. Listen, if he didn't love me, he would have left me out there in that dumpster. Remember Brother Felipe said he went dumpster diving for us? That's right. There was a moldy tortilla, and I was hiding underneath it. He had to just move it out of the way. Come here, you're coming with me. He found us, man, when our conscience mind, I like how Brother G says it, we were all, a lot of us, not all of you, some of us was toe up from the flow up. Oh, yeah, we were. And so, along with the Holy Spirit, it identifies whatever's wrong and that what we need to avoid. Can I get an amen? So knowing that God loves us is always working on our behalf. God is with you. He's for you. He's not against you. And as our best, he has our best interests at heart. Can I get an amen? And that should motivate us to listen and obey the promptings of our conscience. Your conscience is valuable, saints. We may not always understand why the Lord is forbidding us to go a certain direction, but we can trust him and his word, and that he is the final authority. Can I get amen for our lives, for your life, for my life? Because he's always right about every situation we encounter. Oh, yes. Look at this right up here. The Bible mentions several different types of consciousness. So now we're going to go a little deeper. We're going to have to go into that conscience mind and find the answers to God's word. Can I get an amen? So let's look at number one, a good conscience. A good conscience. And you know what I love about the saints of God? Because all they demonstrate to me is you guys are walking around with a good conscience. Because a good conscience loves God, loves to worship God, loves the things of God, loves to be in his word. That's a good conscience. And so praise God for that. Because 1 Timothy 1:19 says it right up here. Having faith and a good conscience. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has given you a good conscience. Praise God. Saints, our conscience is very sensitive and provides sound direction. Amen? This is why Jesus said, humble yourself like a child, for such is the kingdom of God. He's talking to adults to be like a child. You know a child? It's really pure at heart. A little child. They don't know from right or wrong. They just follow mommy and daddy. And their hearts are pure. They don't have the mind of an adult to do some dastardly things. Why? Because God has entrusted them to us to train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so they're pure at heart. God is saying, humble yourself and be like a child. Be humble at heart. Can I get an amen? But then after a good conscience, we're going to look at there's what's called a struggling conscience. They just struggle. Why do they struggle? Well, God showed me something here in 1 Corinthians 8. Let's go there. Regarding a struggling conscience. 1 Corinthians 8, 7 reads, but not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed by an idol. Listen, next time you guys go have salted pepper chicken wings, and you go in and you take that little tray home, and there's a little fat Buddha right there. You know, there's some people, oh, I'm not going to, no, man. Listen, just pray over that food and say, God, thank you for the food. Can I get an amen? But some people can get so religious and so dogmatic. Matter of fact, while you're in there, witness to them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell Mr. Han or whatever his name is, you know what? The Lord loves you. He really does. Come on, man. God has placed these people in our life that we would be a light. Can I get an amen? But there's some people that struggle with that. Whoa, no, man. Oh, I'm not going to eat that carnita burrito. It's food. Listen, if there was no food left in the world and there was just that carnita burrito, I think you would just, man, not leave a drop. Can I get amen? Amen. I don't care if it's a short little cow with little legs. I'm going to eat it. Or die or starve. But look how this is played out in the Word of God. Some people still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol since their conscience is weak. Weak conscience, struggling conscience. And it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. There's some weak man, don't be eating that, man. So let me pray for you. And then let's enjoy this meal together, okay? I remember last year we invited some of the saints to come and watch the Super Bowl, right? Man, if you were to saw what was on the table, you would think, man, are these idols? Food from idols? Because there was almost every ethnic type of food on that table. Oh, yeah, there was. There was some soup that had some, I don't know. What was it called, honey? The soup that was on that table? And someone says, I hope they have that again this year. By the way, you guys are invited to come by next Sunday. We always open our doors. Listen, if you call a prayer meeting during the Super Bowl, you'll be the only one there. I know it, man. I came from a church of 3,000. No one showed. I remember even Pastor Leo would ask one of his associate pastors, can you hold a prayer meeting? And he would come. And how many showed up? I was just there by myself. So why fight it? So you guys are invited if you want to come. It's potluck next Sunday. God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to be your old man. They're all enjoying food from idols. Come on. We got to get real. Amen. Look at this. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Verse 10. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you have this knowledge, eating in idols' temple won't be emboldened to eat what has been sanctified to idols. So the weak brother, for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. And when you sin against your brother in the way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against God. Man, don't rebuke someone, man. They just don't know any better. Just pray for them. Can I get an amen? Just pray. Say, it's okay, brother. Oh, but it still tastes good, doesn't it? You know they like it. Saying, this one is weak and may easily yield to temptation, man. If they're making a mountain out of a molehill, everything in their life will be a mountain out of a little molehill. So let's look at the third type of conscience, a soiled conscience. This is where you and I never want to go, having a soiled conscience. Because the Word of God really speaks harshly against this soiled conscience. And then the last conscience is even more dramatic. But let's look at Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. To those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. So watch out for those folks. Now we're going to look at the most severe conscience right here, is a seared conscience. You know, when I was preparing these scriptures, what came to mind is something that I love to eat every now and then. I can't afford it to eat it every day. But there's these sushi rolls, and the tuna is seared on the top, and the rest of the part is still raw, okay? But the top is seared, and there's a distinct difference of taste from that was in the middle and what's on the top. It's been seared. What happened here? There's some folks whose minds have been seared. Seared. Look at 1 Timothy 4:2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, we pray for the community in Hillcrest. We know what they're all about. But the Bible is clear. Some of them have consciences that are seared with a hot iron that you cannot unsear it no more. He gives them what's called a reprobate mind. And when you become having a reprobate mind, you know what that means? That means you could never come back to God. He doesn't allow you to come to Him no more. These are people that have known the truth, that have promoted the lies, that live in an ungodly, abomination lifestyle unto God. And He gives them, what? A seared conscience now. This is the Word of God up here. This is not Pastor V saying this. Saints, this is the worst state possible because the conscience has become so hardened that it no longer works right. It's the result of repeated disobedience to God. Repeated disobedience to God. A seared conscience allows people to live a completely immoral lifestyle without feeling like it's wrong. According to the book of Romans, when people refuse to honor God, their thinking becomes futile and foolish, and the Lord eventually will give them over to the lust of their hearts, meaning a reprobate mind. It's right here in Romans. Look at this. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. Listen, never call anybody a fool. I am dead serious. Bible says when you call someone a fool, you condemn your own life. Never call anybody a fool. You know, back in the day, what's up, fool? And they still do that. And they don't know what they're speaking out of their mouth. You're condemning your own self when you call someone a fool. Don't do that. Because this is what God says about them. They become fools. Look at this. The next verse. And change the glory of the incorruptible God in an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creepy things. Therefore, God also gave them up to the uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Gave them up. King James says He gave them a reprobate mind. That's a mind that's totally distant from God. man, I never want to be in that place. Can I get an amen? And I'm so thankful that he came to save me. He came to save you. Because when we were out there in the world, he could have left us up there in the lust of our flesh, and we would have been not even living today. By the grace of God, I've been walking this way of God for 28 years, and it's but the grace of God. After I professed to be an atheist, after I professed to be a God hater, and how I tried to tell people that there was no God, that man made up this religion of their fear of death. Oh yeah, I used to spew out those lies. Trying to reason in my own dark and black conscience mind that I was right. Who am I, this little peon, this little speck, when God looks down from heaven, man? Even you can't even see me in a microscope. That's how little we are to this awesome God, this God who is splendor, who is glorious, who is awesome. If you ever looked at the photos from the Hubble telescope and all the galaxies and universes which go past beyond the human mind and the human eye and the man's comprehension of space and galaxy, it goes on forever and ever. And guess what's above that? The third heaven where God lives. Wow. And who are we to contest with God? Lord, have mercy. Listen, saints, we can right up here. When can we trust our conscience to be our guide? When? Since the conscience can be damaged and it's not always reliable, we need to understand under what conditions we can be sure that it is working properly and sending us the right information. This is what's going to help us right now. Number one, we can trust it when we've accepted the word of God as the basis for our conduct. It's God's word now. God is the one now directing us. God is the one. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. If we take seriously, saints, the Ten Commandments, as well as the instructions in the New Testament for proper living, we can be sure that our conscience will guide us toward the right decisions, because God will not fail us. Can I get an amen? God will never lead you to destruction. God came to save us, to give us life and life more abundantly. Thank you, God. Number two, we can trust it if we have programmed our conscience with the teaching of Scripture. This is why we prayed Scripture over our sister. And now I asked her by the grace of God to tuck God's word in her heart. Why? King David said, "Oh God, that I may hide your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's right. As the Holy Spirit puts God's word in our hearts, we come to understand how he thinks, how he works, and how he moves in our life. How many of you love what God is doing in your life right now? Come on. Oh, yeah. He's doing a glorious, wonderful job in your life. And guess what? He never gave up on us. Some of us gave up on him at one time, but he never gave up on us. Number three, we can trust our conscience when we have a strong desire to obey the Lord. We'll have a strong desire. We can trust this conscience mind. This means that no matter the cost, we're going to trust him and do what he says. That's right. If he speaks to us, and he speaks to you and I in so many different ways. What he says to you, he doesn't say to me. What he says to me, he doesn't say to you. We serve a God that Taylor made us. And we are so different from one another yet. We're all one body. Can I get amen? Hey, there's no one that has your same thumbprint in the whole world. There's almost 7 billion people, and there's no identical match to you. You are wonderfully and meticulously made by God, and he loves you. This is why he came and died for us. Can I get amen? Number four, we can trust it if we prayerfully consider the decisions we must make. You know, there's some tough decisions we have to make. Do you want this in your house anymore or not? Is this defiling you? Is this tempting you? The things we hear, the things we see, whatever the case may be, the places we go, if you say, hey, you know what? I need you to walk closer with me, sanctify yourself. Then be obedient to it. I'm not going to tell you what they are because those things are tailor-made for you. You know what gets you in trouble with God, and you know what honors God. I don't know them, and I don't care. That's between you and the Lord. But when you line up with God, your life will become so blessed. That's all I'm going to say, that your life will become so blessed when you walk and honor the King. Amen? We're coming in for a close. Number five, we can trust our conscience when it immediately sounds an alarm when we're considering a wrong direction in our thoughts or actions. Oh, yeah. God just has that internal meter in there. Warning, warning. Don't go there. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. I shared this about a week or two ago. I'll share it now. But some of us have friends and family or acquaintances still incarcerated for peddling marijuana. And now they got dispensaries everywhere saying, yeah, you could just go in there and buy it now. What happened to these poor characters, man? They were running and hiding. But this is the state of this nation. It's upside down. Now they're calling this thing, which was so illegal, which I still feel, it still defiles your conscience mind. Because when you smoke that stuff, let me just say what takes place. The reason why I know, because I used to smoke that stuff. Man, I used to smoke that stuff. Man, I used to have 10 thoughts coming in at one time. And you know what I've discovered now? These were spirits coming in. Because you open up your mind to the demonic world. And it causes you to lust. It causes you to do things contrary to your conscious mind that God has given you. This is no different from alcohol or tobacco. You know, they show you the Marlboro man on a horse. Yeah, man, look at that man. But they should also, right next to it, show a cancer, that a lung that's filled with black cancer. And this person's dying and smoking through the hole of their neck. Or how about the ones that need a liver transplant because of cirrhosis of the liver from all that liquor that they've been putting down? Man, God is saying, man, choose right. Just because the dispensary is saying it's legal, man, don't fall for that trap. That lets me know we're living in the last days. The enemy is coming like a flood trying to dupe you and trying to trick you up. Don't run to those places. Don't, oh, yeah, it's legal now. Yeah, man, come on, man. Woo-hoo-hoo. You'll just find yourself in crashing and burning even further. Why? Because we know the truth now. If you know the truth, man, don't turn your back on God and go back in that way. The Bible says, and I've seen this before with my own pet. I've seen a dog heave it up, and then before you have a chance to go lick it up or wipe it up, they go back in there and lick it up. Bible says it's like a dog going back to its vomit. Help us, Jesus. Help us keep our mind focused on you, that our mind would be steadfast with you, that the peace of God, the grace of God, the love of God would be upon our minds, our heart, our soul, that we would live that righteous life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Listen, the ministry that we have here, the joy that comes to my heart, when just one, and I see many of you, but when I see just one person's life transforms and becomes like Jesus, my mind says, according to God's word, that's what it's all about. Watching someone grow from a dark place and enters into a place of light. And now is trusting God, blessing God, praising God, worshiping God. Where the old life now is behind them. And they look back at that life as a reminder where God has delivered them from. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. If we're consistent in abiding in God's word, his way, and his will, our conscience won't wait until the day to send us a signal, saints. The moment a temptation or questionable situation arises, it will warn us of danger and prompt us to reject that direction. Can I get an amen? And we look at our last point here. We can trust it when we feel guilty immediately upon disobedience. This is what I love about God, is that even in our mistakes as believers, even as the Bible says we fall short of the glory of God, He's there to lift you up. He's there to pick you up. He's there to wash you. He's there if you just come to Him with a repentant heart and say, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have gone this way. Oh, God, help me, God. Help me forgive that brother. Help me forgive that sister. Help me, God, walk in your ways and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. He will make all things beautiful in His time. Can I get an amen? A spiritually sensitive conscience is alert to everything going on inside and around us. The moment we sin, though, we will go into action so that we can quickly return to God. Can I get an amen? As soon as man, what did I say? Man, why did I do that? Oh, God, immediately run to Him. Don't run away. When you run away from God, guess what's on your back? Guilt, shame, misery, a heart that wants to do right, and yet the enemy will blackmail you. Oh, man, God is not going to forgive you for that. That's a lie from the pit. Bible says that he can forgive everything. Can I get an amen? Amen? Everything. But there's only one sin. One sin the Bible talks about that is not forgiven by God. And that's the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. And that's a person that rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a person that rejects God. Says, no, I don't want God in my life. I don't want anything about God. Well, guess what? The Bible says, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So when we become born again, we receive His Holy Spirit of promise. Can I get an amen? But a person that rejects the grace of God, that does not want nothing to do with Jesus, he has blasphemed the Holy Spirit, because Jesus went away and says, when I go away, I will send the Comforter. I will send the power. I will send the one that resurrects your dead soul. I'm the one that will raise you up. The Holy Spirit will raise you up, and He will put you on a path of righteousness. Why? Because now we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can I get an amen? We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is why we need to really be about our Father's business this year. Tell people about Jesus. Let them know that He's coming soon. Let them know that the armies around the world are gathering together. Man, there's going to be a war like we've never seen before. Because the Bible says in the last days that there's going to be a tribulation coming like no other time. And if the church is not prayed up, if the church is not walking in the will of God, we're going to miss it. We don't want to miss. Well, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be drawn close to Him. Can I get amen? I want to walk in His will. I want to share the grace of God with others. I want to tell that Jesus Christ is coming soon. When I saw the video for myself, I saw it myself. I saw the president of China rallying 2 million men, his army men, saying, get ready for war. They're coming alongside North Korea. Russia's coming alongside with them. But our news stations, all they want to tell you is how much mud they want to sling at our president. They're not telling us what's going around in the world. We need to be ready. Can I get an amen? Be a people that's ready, that's prayed up. Hallelujah, that has the power of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because when Jesus comes, He's coming for a bride that's going to be pure. Hallelujah. A bride that's coming, that's looking for Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's looking for a people that's looking for Him. And how many of you want to be part of that army? Come on. Well, hey, you know, when you got saved, you were inducted in the army of God. So walk as soldiers now. And when you see your brother and sister fall in a ditch, be a paramedic and go pull them out. Don't just walk by. Oh, well, man, what's wrong? What's up? go to them and rescue them. They've been crippled. Something emotionally happened. Something physical happened. Man, go lift them up out of that foxhole. Can I get amen? Amen. Be a medic and help your brother and sister when they fall. Don't point and laugh at them and say, oh, ha, ha, ha. That's what you get. God wants to give us a heart like his. When he came to save you and me, all those that mocked, that we hung around with, how are they looking at you now? Some of them are going like this. Is that you? Yeah. Come on, some of you have family members, man. You know they're not living for God. And as soon as you get into their midst, bleepity, bleepity, bleep. And then Jesus Christ comes out, man. And man, they just chucking it. And they listen, tell them that Jesus is coming soon. And he loves you. And what he did for me, he can do for you. You don't have to put them to shame. You got to give them hope. Let them know there's hope. Can I get an amen? Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so I leave us with these questions. Hallelujah. Number one, the conscience is informed by what we know and have learned. How readily do you respond to your conscience? If you're ready to go into an error, do you back up and say, I'm not going there. I've been there, seen that, done that. Or you go back in there and go, man, let me wallow in it one more time. Oh man, yeah, I haven't had this in a long time. Let me just get in here. Or does your conscience mind, empowered by the Holy Spirit, now it says, warning, warning, Will Robinson. Warning, warning. Danger, danger. Number two, who has influenced your conscience? Humanism? The atheist? Family or friends? That are not living for God, they'll try to come and trip you up. Oh, you holy roller. See, that's right. I'm rolling for God. This is where you be bold. And you can't allow their dark conscience to bother you. You have to have Teflon faith. You know what Teflon faith is? You ever seen a Teflon pan that you can fry an egg without any oil? You can flip it. And it just slides right off into your... Man, you have to have faith that when the enemy comes with darts, it just slides right off you. And you don't get emotional. Just, oh, yeah, you're right, man. Yeah, you're right, man. No. Say, you know what? To God be the glory. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And when I say his enemies be scattered, is that demon influence in their life. It's not the person. Because we were all in that condition. It's the demonic influence in their life that God would scatter them and give them a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. Can I get amen? That's what it's all about. Don't condemn them in their sin. They don't need to remember. They know they're in sin. When you and I were in the world, we knew. Come on, you knew that was against the law, that was against my parents' desire, that was against my school teacher. Come on, we all knew that. Number three, what ideas and teachings have shaped your perceptions of right and wrong? Listen, saints, the messages that we bring here is for one purpose. That we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would gather this knowledge of God's word to strengthen us for what's coming, for the times that we live in. This nation right now is rising up as God haters. They're God haters. They've removed God in the schools. They removed God in the court system. They removed God in the public square. And the number one thing on their agenda is how many babies can we still be aborting? Remember when Hurricane Harvey hit and washed out that place in Houston? Guess what was on their radio and television? Planned Parenthood saying, for you women that are so distressed, we will give you free abortions. What, they didn't learn their lesson, man? God allowed that flood to come. Why? Because they were cutting up body parts and selling them. Where's the mindset of this world? Where's it gone? God is looking for us now to be lights in the midst of darkness. Can I get an amen? The Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. We need to be a light, a shining bright beacon of hope. This dedication today, man, brought joy to my heart. Why? Because this family has decided, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I get an amen? We just witnessed that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Number four. How reliable do you think your conscience is? Now consider what a conscience informed by God's word would be like. You know what that is? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, where there's no end to it. In other words, you can dive into God's word and know that I can love without any limits. I can love my brother. And the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. So when you look at your brother and sister in a fault, or they're not living according to the word of God, you don't condemn them. You let them know, hey, you know what? I'm here to let you know, despite of yourself, God still loves you. Despite of yourself, he still loves you, and he has a plan for you. You got to let them know. You got to speak prophetic things to them. Let them know that God has an awesome plan for you. It's not for destruction and death. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Number five. How much more reliable do you think it would be? Living God's way. Putting the word of God in. And our last question here. What practical steps can you take to develop a trustworthy, protective, and faithful conscience? It's found in the word. It's found in the grace of God. It's found in the power of God. It's found in our weakest moments. He is there to be the lifter of our heads. When that temptation comes, he will come like this. He won't snatch you. He'll come and gently pull you away from it. Just keep following me. I got a better way. I got a better plan. Aren't you so blessed that he doesn't slap us upside our head and call us a fool? That's not the God we serve. When he saved us, he drew us through his loving kindness. And he gave us a mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent. And then he caused us to get on our knees and to surrender our life to him. For those of you who have been incarcerated before, what did that policeman say? Stick up, stick it up, or stick them up. And what's the first thing that went up? Don't shoot. Don't shoot. It was an automatic surrender, huh? Well, when God comes in our lives, man, we don't have to, what? We just thank you, Jesus. And he starts working on our hearts, showing him his love and his grace. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. My brother, is that you? God bless you. Can I get a hug, brother? Come here. This is Brother Sam. Come on, this is Brother Sam. Love you, brother. Good to see you. Good to see you, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Brother, I have a song, or you want to play? It's up to you. I'll give you the choice. Huh? Play? Okay. Praise God. So blessed to have people come in when people are gone, and we got some saints that are down in Mexico, blessing Mexico. Continue to pray for Pastor John, for their family right now that's grieving and mourning for their loved one that passed. Saints, for those of you who know Brother Eddie and Sister Esther, would you keep them in prayer? And for some of you that know where they live, just go by and say hi. How you doing? Tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much you miss them. Let them know that God's in total control. Amen. And whatever plan that God has for that wonderful couple, it's going to be to God be the glory. To God be glorified and magnified and high and lifted up. I'm praying for those who don't know Jesus right now that's listening to this message. And if that's you, maybe, just maybe, you'd never come to that place of surrendering your life to Jesus. We're going to ask God right now to touch your mind, your conscience mind, to give you a choice to choose Jesus right now. Maybe you've been running for many years, or maybe you knew of God and something in your life affected you and you ran away. And now God is saying, come back, come back. If that is you, pray this simple prayer right now. It's not a magical prayer. It's not a formula. It's not a potion. Is we believe God by faith that Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And if that's you, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Come on, give him praise and glory in the house. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.